enjoyed the meeting, and I've been richly blessed in my soul. And the Lord has inspired my heart with messages, and I just always like to give my brother and sister the go ahead. I don't want to get ahead of anybody. But I have something so rich on my heart, and it just seems like it just keeps bringing down on me. And so I want to bring this thought, Lord, helping me. Oh, God, please help me that I'll be able to bring it out like you want me to. I'm thinking about the sweetness of the Lord. How sweet the Lord is. It's honey. There's honey. And I want to notice different scriptures about honey in the Bible and the sweetness of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 8 and 8 and 9, it spoke about the land of Canaan that he is wanting to bring Israel into. He said it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Now, you know, that's really something to think. If that land was a land that had, it was flowing with milk and honey. That's what it says. And I thought, ooh, wow, that would be wonderful. Because I'm a person that I love honey. I eat a lot of honey. I keep a lot of honey on hand in our house. I don't care much for sugar. I don't eat much sugar. I have to eat a little bit of stuff they put in some of the food. But I like honey. I like honey. But honey in the Bible is mentioned several times. And I want to notice now, I just mentioned that Deuteronomy 8 and 9 about Israel going into the land of Canaan. There was a land flowing with milk and honey. But I want to get into the spiritual aspect of it in our generation and time. Psalm 19, and start at verse 7. Oh, the whole 19th Psalm is just wonderful to me. It's just rich to my heart. It's sweet, and I just love it all. But I want to notice it. Start at verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. What's it do? It's converting the soul. It's helping to straighten out a person, the law of God. Help us to see where we need help and where we're fault and where we're wrong. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Don't that sound good? That's wonderful, isn't it? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Amen. Now that's the judgments, the statutes, the law, the testimony, the commandment, the fear, and all this of the Lord. It is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Now that's getting pretty sweet. Yeah. Did you ever try to eat some honeycomb with the honey? Woo! That's wonderful. That is really great. That's good. If you've never done that, try to do that sometime. I don't get that much of it. What I usually get is already out of the comb. But it's good. It's wonderful. Sweeter. And these statutes, the commandments, the word of God, dear ones, is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And I want to encourage you young people to seek the Lord and get some of this honey that He has for you in your soul. It's sweet. It'll make you happy. It'll make you rejoice. It is wonderful. The commandments, the statutes, the judgments, the precepts of the Lord, they are just so rich and sweet. Oh, and your soul is just so precious. To study the Word of God. Get it in your mind, in your memory, and meditate on it day and night. I'm telling you, dear ones, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, I appreciate it. Now I want to notice another place where it speaks about God's law and God's judgment. Psalms 119 and 103. Oh, dear ones, it's wonderful today. Are we feasting on the sweet, good things? Oh, we can be. We can have something. I enjoy living for the Lord. I enjoy my experience with Him. I enjoy His blessings, His presence. I enjoy His Word. I enjoy going to meeting. I enjoy hearing the Word of God preached by my brothers and sisters. I enjoy it. It's sweet to me. There are some bitter things in life, yes. But they don't come from the Lord. The bitter things come from another source. The difficulties, the hard places, adversaries of the Lord, the devil and the world and sin and wickedness and pride and vanity and lust and strife and envy and hatred, those are bitter things. But we meet those in life. But we don't have to just gouge them down and just, we got to meet them and know how to deal with them. But the things that the Lord wants you to have, and He gives you, they're sweet. They're honey. Now listen, Psalms 119 and 103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." Isn't that wonderful? How sweet is the Scriptures. Oh, the Holy Bible, dear ones. I've worn out several of them in these 50-some years I've been living a Christian life. But it's wonderful and it's still sweet and precious. The Scriptures in my mind, I've committed lots of it to memory. I thank the Lord for that. Oh, dear ones, it's wonderful. And these songs we sing, oh, they're full of honey. They're just full of honey. I love to sing them. I love to meditate upon them. Dear ones, how sweet are thy words to my taste. How sweet is thy law. How sweet is your commandments. How sweet is your judgments, your precepts, your statutes, your ordinances, your testimonies. How sweet they are. What does it say? Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Praise the Lord. Have you had any honey today? spiritually speaking. Have you had any literal honey? I've had a little. When I get around anyone, there's some honey. I usually get some of it. If it's just a spoonful or so, I tell you, I love that honey. I put it on bread, and I put it on crackers, and I put it on cereal. Oh, dear ones, it's a wonderful thing. And the Word of God is just like that. Scriptures. Oh, I don't know how many times in my life as a Christian that the Lord has come to me in such a rich, sweet, wonderful way, just lift me plumb up over out of the things and the problems and burdens of life. Oh, I tell you, what's that old depression? The devil, he'll put it on you if you don't watch. But you keep the honey going. You just keep that honey. I want to sing a song after a while about honey in the rock. Y'all ever heard that? I thought it was in that blue book, but it's not. But I got it in my heart. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The words of God, the commandments, the testimonies, the promises, the statutes, the things that He has spoken. They're sweet to us. the testimonies of his children in the Psalms and the different places about the Apostle Paul. Oh, that man, he had an awful hard time in life, and he was persecuted, but he was full of honey. His writing is just so encouraging, so rich and sweet. Oh, dear ones, I'm happy. Are you happy this morning? Is everybody happy this morning? Have you been eating some of this honey lately? Oh, meditate upon it and just enjoy it. Praise the good Lord. Now, let's see. We got something else here. Proverbs 24 and 13. I thank the Lord for honey. I thank the Lord for the honey in the precious word. Proverbs 24 and 13 and 14. I thank the Lord for his goodness to us. He is so wonderful to us. 24 and 13. It says, "My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honor and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste." Eat that, the honey and the honeycomb. And it says, "So." Now he's liking this to something more, other. "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul." Oh, listen, listen. You know, did you know your soul is more real than your body? It really is. And for you to get honey in your soul, you really got something. And it's real. It's sweet. It's precious. Oh, dear ones, don't stop until you get into the honey and get into the real relationship with the Lord. God is real to you. He's sweet. He's encouraging. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters and the saints of God that I've known down through the years that have been helpful and sweet and precious to me. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. I have treasures in my heart and my memory of people that were dear and precious to me. And their memory is sweet, and I cherish it. But the sweetness of the Lord goes beyond it all. And the sweetness that he is in your soul. It says, "My son, eat thou honey, because it is good." And it says, it goes on to say, "And the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste, so shall the knowledge of wisdom," the fear of God, the teachings, the standards of truth and holiness in the Bible, the wisdom of the knowledge of wisdom will be to your soul when thou hast found it, when it is revealed to you, when you're able to get a hold of it. It says here, "And then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." There shall be a reward. That word reward here, and in another scripture I've got on in Proverbs 23, this word reward means there will be a hereafter. You know, that's the main thing we're striving for, is the hereafter. The things that are seen and literal, they're just temporary. They're just to soon be gone. But the things that are not seen, the spiritual things, those things are eternal. And that's what you want to be seeking for. Yeah. Let me tell you something. The Lord can be more real to you than your companion, your wife, or your husband. Now, you may wonder about that, but the Lord can be more real to you than anything. Why? Because you get in the Spirit. Your spirit, God has given to every man a spirit. And that spirit, that's what makes you alive. It gives you your being, it gives you a kind, and it gives you contact with God's spirit. And that's what Jesus did whenever he was here. He lived by the Spirit of God. He didn't go after the flesh. He didn't go after the world. He lived and let the Spirit of God lead and work with him. And then whenever he gave his life on Calvary's cross, they killed his and took his breath and life out of his body. But they didn't do anything to that spirit that was in him. No. That spirit that was in him quickened him on that third Lord's Day morning. And he come out of that tomb. He was quickened by the Spirit. And that then he was taken up after 40 days. He was taken up to the right hand of God. And there, from there, he pours out the Spirit on you and me. Isn't that wonderful? You can have the Spirit of God that he had. Oh, that's wonderful. And that's where the honey is. That's where the sweetness is. Eat thou honey and the honeycomb. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. And there shall you know there'll be a reward when you found it. You'll be a reward, and your expectation, your anticipation, your hope will not be cut off. Amen. Oh, dear one, this is real. This is wonderful. I want to notice in 23rd Proverbs, starting at verse 15, going down through 19. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Don't let your heart envy the ungodly and the worldly and the proud and the vain and the lustful. Don't let your heart go. They don't have what you really... Do you know, that's what happens to a lot of young people. They get influenced by the worldly crowd. Yeah. I remember when I was a young teenager, I was influenced by that. I had attractions. I had drawing and temptations from the world. Sure I did. But I'll tell you what, there was something else working with me. I was son of a godly mother. Yeah. I attended services here at Guthrie. I was born here in Guthrie and raised. I went to services over there at the Church of God Chapel on 6th and Warner, where it used to be. I had a pastor, Brother Fred Pruitt. I had another pastor, Brother O.C. Porter. I had Sunday school teachers. I had a Sunday school teacher, Sister Ozell Wyatt, when I was a little boy and growing up. She was my Sunday school teacher. That woman had an influence on me. Oh, thank the Lord. I can remember, I can still see her in my mind teaching us and weeping. Weeping for joy about Jesus. I tell you, that had an influence on me. Amen. Then I had another Sunday school teacher named Sister Emma Dilley. She hasn't been gone very long. She died in 96, I think, somewhere. She's gone on to be... She was a godly woman. She was a saint of God. She influenced my mind. Then there was Brother O.C. Porter and Brother Fred Pruitt, Brother Willie Murphy. They all influenced my mind and my heart. Praise the Lord. Sister Marie Miles, my mother in the gospel. I'll never forget her. She influenced me. She helped inspire me. Oh, dear ones, it's wonderful to get into the honey. In the saints and in the scriptures and in the... Let's see. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. There is an end. There is a hereafter. There's something. This life is just a fleeting time. It's going to be over soon. You know, your life will go by so fast. I have marveled how fast my life and my life with my wife, my dear wife, we'll be married 52 years this summer. I can't hardly realize that. I'll be 74 years old in August. I'm an old man. But I'm young in spirit. I'm young in spirit, and the honey is a flowing in my soul. And I am happy in the Lord. I don't care anything about the worldly things, the old sports. Bah, that don't mean a thing to me. All this money and lust and all this styles and fat, it's just a bunch of rubbish. I've found something better. I've found something real. I've found something eternal. It's precious and rich and sweet. I enjoy living for the Lord. I'm happy in the Lord. I'm satisfied with the Lord. I'm happy in Him. I've got honey in my soul. Praise the Lord. Surely there is an end. There is a hereafter. And thy expectation, your hope, will not be cut off. It will not be disappointed. You're going to be rewarded. I remember that's one of the things that drew me to the Lord was the expectation and the hope that He presented to me. The gospel. I remember that. I used to think when I was a boy, I want to go to heaven. Because, you'd be surprised by my little thoughts. I can have, what was that? I've been slipping my mind right now. What?
Chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake? That's... I don't care for chocolate cake anymore. I don't even want it. But back when I was a boy, I thought chocolate cake, I'd say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have chocolate cake all I want. Woo! My Lord, have mercy. I tell you, I'm glad I learned better than that. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. I don't know how much, I know what spiritual honey, I've got that now, and I'm sure we'll have lots of spiritual honey and blessings up there. But you know, dear ones, that's the way. The world, the fleshly things, they just get and they just fasten themselves upon people. And they don't realize, they don't understand, they just don't realize there's something more to life than just this old flesh and this material stuff. Money. You think we're going to have money up in heaven? Ha! What do we need money for up there? I'm glad we won't have it. And I'm glad we have to have it down here. But I tell you what, you put the Lord first and He'll see to the other part. But you want to get this honey, this sweetness, this richness. We want to get that in our soul. And, now, I want to go to something else. Isaiah 7 and 14. And also, let's see, 14. Yeah. Isaiah 7 and 14. I want to read you something here. This is a prophecy of Jesus. But it's something. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now that is a prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ and Mary, his mother, bringing him forth. And Emmanuel means God with us. You find it in Matthew chapter 1, I believe it is, when he speaks about it. He quotes this scripture and about Mary and Joseph. And it says, now, this is the prophecy that he shall call his name, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now that's talking about Christ. He was begotten by the Holy Spirit. And he grew up, and butter, and now this butter is really, it's the curds of cheese. That's the real meaning of this. Now, butter is similar. You have to shake and stir and get butter, and it causes the particles of the fat in the milk to come, and that makes butter. But then cheese is also something, a product of milk too. So, butter, cheese, and honey, this spiritually speaking, is the essence of God's holy word, his holiness, his truth, his judgment. That's what that is. It says, butter and honey shall he eat, and that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. So you see, we've got to get some of this honey in the scriptures, and this sweetness and this richness, we've got to get that in our souls. Jesus partook of that in his life. He partook of that. He had the knowledge of the scriptures. You read in the Gospels and the places where Jesus would quote from the Old Testament. Yeah. That's a good study. I had a Bible when I was in the younger years. I had a Bible that was very helpful to me because it was marked every place in the New Testament where it quoted from the Old Testament. It would say cited from and then tell where it came from. Oh, that really helped me. And I've got my Bible here has reference, but that one I had then, it just really plainly showed where when Jesus would quote or any of the New Testament writers would quote, they're quoted over and over in the Old Testament. And you just read right back there. And then when you where it says that in the Old Testament, it would have in the reference, it would say cited and then point to the New Testament. That was a wonderful Bible to me. I wore that Bible out. It was a wonderful Bible. But it helped me to get a knowledge of the Scriptures. And so, anyway, that's what Jesus, virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now, let's look in the same chapter in verse 22. And it shall come to pass, for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter or this cheese, curds, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. Now that's spiritually speaking, see. Butter and honey. The Word and the Spirit. The Word of God and the Spirit of God, that's what you need to partake of. Whenever you're listening to a message like this or anyone else, if you just got your mind on having a good time and hurrying up and getting through so I can go out and do something, you're not going to get anything. You won't get a thing. I remember when I was a little boy, best part of the message on Sunday morning to me was when I saw him close his Bible. That's the best part of the message. You know why? Because I knew he's just about through. I'm glad I got out of that horny up plus. I'm glad I got over that. And I got to the place where I enjoyed hearing the Word of God. And I've enjoyed the services in this meeting. I've just drunk in my soul and feasted on the good things of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Honey, I want to read you something. You know how honey is made? You ever study about it? It's quite a thing. Honey is made as a sweet, thick fluid made by bees from flower nectar. The juice that's in the flowers. It's marvelous. Nectar is a thin, watery liquid. Bees sip it from the blossoms and carry it to their hives. Now, isn't that something? Each worker bee has a special pouch called a honey bag inside his body. Here, the bee stores the nectar it collects. In the pouch, the sugar and nectar are broken down by a process into two simple sugars. Well, I can't get that. Dextrose and lucitose. After honeybees deposit the nectar in the hive, they allow most of the water to evaporate and the liquid becomes thick. They also add enzymes that enhance the flavor. Now, you know, there's something about how God made the little bees. You ever look at a little bee? I mean, I have never worked with bees. I'd like to sometime, but I never have had a chance to. But they're marvelous. They make the honey. And they are working. Look at all the honey. I hope we don't ever run out of honey. They say that these radio signals that's going in through the air is so full of them, that they are distracting and confusing the bees, causing them to get lost and not know how to get back to their hive. Now, I hate to hear that. That's almost made me, I don't even want one of these cell phones. We have one, but I don't use it very much. I don't care for them. And I sure ain't going to bring one. But if I have one, I ain't going to bring it to church. No. But, well, that's all right. If you have one, that's your privilege. But somehow, I just don't care for them. I don't need them. I got along for most of my life without one. Why do I need one now? Everywhere you go, you see somebody. Why do we need those things for? Lord help. Now I want to notice a little bit about the value, food value of honey. Honey is an excellent energy food because it contains simple sugars that can be used quickly by the body. It differs chemically from cane sugar, which is also an energy food. Honey contains mineral salts and other materials needed by the body. It is the only form of sugar food that does not need to be refined. About 211 million pounds of honey are produced in the United States each year. Florida and California lead in honey production. I think that that is marvelous, that God would create a creature that would do what these bees do. Yeah. I think it's wonderful. Now, I want to get on the spiritual point here of my thought. The Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, what it teaches is very wonderful. It's the honey to the soul. And as you study the Scriptures, I believe he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. As you study the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit opens them up to your heart and mind, reveals what the very essence of you're getting into the honey. That's the honey. And I just jotted down, and I'm not going to do all this reading, but I want to show you from the Psalms some of the places that have been so rich to my soul. And you might write these down and do some studying if you haven't been on them already. Psalm number 1. That's a real rich psalm. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't that sweet? You want to be like that? Well, there's honey there. There's that richness. There's that sweetness. Psalm 2 is a prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ. The heathen, why do the heathen rage? And the kings of the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Or it's Christ. That's what Christ means. It means the anointed one. Against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh them to scorn. The Lord shall have them in derision. That's been quoted in the New Testament. In Acts, the 4th chapter, when the brethren, the saints, the ministers were being persecuted and threatened by the officials, the Jewish leaders, and they told them they beat them and then sent them back and told them not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And they came back and they got with the dear ones, the congregation there, and they prayed. And this is what they mention in their prayer, this psalm. They mention that in their prayer. Thou who by David said, why do the heathen rage and the kingdoms of the earth set themselves against the Lord and his Christ? So they quoted that, see. So that is a prophecy of Jesus and tell how he was going to be rejected by the world. And then verse 5 said, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. That is quoted in the New Testament. In the 13th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul, preaching there at Antioch in Pisidia, quotes this scripture and he applies it to Christ's resurrection. You read it. Look it up. It's Christ's resurrection. The Lord has said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Oh, that's talking about Christ's resurrection. And then on down, it says, ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen. This is God speaking to Christ. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. This is quoted in Revelations 2 and 27. Christ quotes it himself in talking to John. Thou shalt break them. Break who? The nations with a rod of iron, with his word and his power. Yeah. You'll break them to pieces like a potter's vessel. If you try to stand up against Christ, that's what's going to happen to you. You try to persecute his people, that's what's going to happen to you. And then, be wise, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. This is counsel to us. Don't go against Christ. Don't reject him. You won't prosper. You won't make it. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Kiss the Son. It means embrace the Son. Worship him purely. Worship the Son. Give your heart and life to him. Surrender to him. Embrace him. That's what we need to do to Jesus. Not just have a profession and talk about it. There's more to it than that. In your heart, you must embrace him. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, that is not quoted in the New Testament, but we're quoting it now. And that's what it's talking, that's what it means to us. He is honey to our souls. He is rich. He is real. Yeah. He is precious to us. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from away when his wrath is kindled but a little. Did you know all that Christ did for you? Dying for you, suffering for you, and then you reject him, you turn away and you don't want to live for him. You know what he's going to do? It's incurring his anger. When he's kindled just a little resistance kindles his, because he did so much for you. He gave his life for you. And then you say, I don't want to do this. You're going to get in trouble. And I don't want to do that. And I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for how he dealt with my heart as a young person. I've told you different times. I was going on 18. I was in my senior year. I had a girlfriend at school. Yeah. I liked her. I wasn't privileged. My folks told me, you don't go out at night. When night comes, you stay here at home. So all I could see of my girlfriend was mainly at school. But I liked her. She was a beautiful girl. And I was attracted to her. And other things too in the world. Worldly music. Oh, I love to sing those worldly songs. Your cheating heart, and jambalaya, crawfish pie, and a feely gumbo. I'd sing those worldly songs. But there was something working on me. Something working on the Spirit of God was dealing with my soul. And my mother was praying for me. Thank you, Jesus. One night, one evening, we lived out northeast of Guthrie here, about 8 miles in the country. My father took us three young boys, my two younger brothers and I, we all moved out to the country. He wanted to get us out in the country, get us away from the city. I'm thankful he did. I didn't feel very good about what we moved into. He had fixed our house up at Guthrie, put in a bathroom and a brand new kitchen, and it was just a beautiful home. We moved out to the farm. We didn't have a bathroom, didn't even have running water. And I didn't like that too good, but I went along. He bought 3 cows, and I learned how to milk cows. He bought 3 cows from Brother O.C. Porter. He was the pastor of the congregation, but he had some cows, and so my dad bought 3 cows. I learned how to milk. And we were living out there in that place. And one evening, this was during my senior year, I was somehow got something off of a box top label or box top ad about a little gadget you could fasten to your belt and go out and run and tell you how far you ran. I thought that'd be something nice to play around with. So I put that on my belt and I got out, and it was about twilight. The sun was just going down, and it wasn't all that dark and it wasn't all that light either. But it was just dark enough, and I was running top speed with this gadget on my belt, and I ran into a guide wire of electric pole. That's how, you know, and it caught me right here. I was running at full speed. And here's what happened to me. It flipped me, and I went down, face down on the ground. And when I got up, I was bleeding from my mouth and my nose. Oh, I knew I was in trouble. I hurried to the house, just bleeding. I said, "Oh, Mama, I've hurt myself." "Oh," she says, "lay down here." And she got some towels and some cloths, and she began to pat and pack it around. And she got on the phone and called Brother and Sister Porter. Called our sister Nika Walls, her folks. She called them, and they live 5 miles south of us. And they come right on up. And I was laying there, I was bleeding. And it wouldn't stop. But I was talking to God in my heart and mind. I says, "Lord, if you'll stop this bleeding, I'll give my heart to you and live for you. Thank you, Lord." In just a little while, Brother Sister Porter had come and they were praying. While they was praying, I was praying to God. The bleeding stopped.
Amen.
And I got all right. It wasn't right then. I should have done it right then, but I didn't. I went on back to school, but I knew that I would have to give up the world. And I began to count the cost. And that summer, this happened in the spring, and that summer, I gave my heart to the Lord and have lived for Him ever since.
Amen.
And I went on, and I was sanctified that winter in our Guthrie Assembly meeting. I came to the assembly meeting. I'd been seeking the Lord, and I knew I needed to be sanctified and filled with the Spirit of God. And I had gone to the altar at Monarch that summer, and I was trying to get a hold, but I somehow wasn't getting a hold of it to my satisfaction. So anyway, but I didn't give up the Lord. I just kept right on trying to live for the Lord and praying and seeking the Lord. But that winter at the assembly meeting, I came to the assembly meeting, and of course, we was living out, and we'd come in, and on a Sunday night, the first Sunday night, Brother Murphy Allen, yes. Some of you remember him, dear brother minister of the Lord, he got up that night, and he had a message on seeking the Lord. And Hosea 10:12 was his text. He just somehow the Lord inspired him with that. Hosea 10:12. It's time for you to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness upon you. There's a little more to it than that, but I couldn't get quite a hold of it right now. But that's what it says. It's time for you. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time for you to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that was his text. And I'm telling you, the Lord turned him loose. That man was so anointed, he preached with power. Jeremiah 29, I believe, speaks about seeking the Lord. And he, but other scriptures. Anyway, he just poured it out. And I sat there. I was sitting on the front seat. I was listening. And I said to myself, when he gets through, I'm going to that altar and I ain't getting up until I know where I stand with God. And so as soon as his message, he says, well, let's get a song. Maybe someone needs to pray. And so anyway, we started singing. I went to that altar, right down on this end of the altar. Not this altar, but the one there in Guthrie, the old chapel. And I prayed. I didn't care who heard me. I prayed to the top of my voice. I wept. I begged the Lord. I consecrated. I sought. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Suddenly, right while I was praying, it just seemed like all heaven just poured down into my soul. Woo! I come up off of that altar. It's a wonder I hadn't knocked somebody down. I'm glad I did it, because there were several. Brother Murphy Allen was up here in the pulpit still. He is agreeing with me. And Brother Sam Barton was standing there with his hand on my head. And Brother O.C. Porter was bowing there praying with me. I come up off that altar rejoicing in the Lord. The Lord had filled my soul. That was the sweetest, most wonderful thing. It pays to seek the Lord. It pays to get after Him. The Apostle Paul said in Athens in the 17th chapter of Acts, it says, the God that made the world and all things that are therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needeth anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. And it says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. He's not far from you, but you got to seek for him. You've got to feel after him. You've got to pray and call upon him. And he will reveal himself to you. He will open up heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's so many. Psalms 8 is another prophecy of Christ. I'm not going to read anymore. Psalm 16 and Psalm 22, they're all prophecies of Jesus. Psalm 23, you know what that is. Isn't that a sweet psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The last part of it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that sweet? That's precious. That's sweet. Psalm 23. Psalm 34. There's another good psalm. Psalm 37. Psalm 40. 40 is a real good prophecy of Jesus. And also Psalm 68, 71, and 73. Oh, all these psalms. Psalm 61, 68, Psalm 71, Psalm 73. Psalms 84. They're all good. Psalm 90. Did you ever read that one? Psalm 90. Psalm 91. Psalm 95, another place where it's quoted in the New Testament. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, so thy loving kindness. Oh, dear ones, it's wonderful. These sweet, precious psalms. Psalm 104. Oh, that's a wonderful one. About nature and God's creation. Psalms 110. Another prophecy of Jesus. 112. 116. Oh, they're wonderful. 118. And then the good 119 psalm. With how many verses does it have? 176, isn't it? Stay in there. That's a wonderful psalm. Oh, I appreciate the goodness of God. Let's sing. Oh, my brother, do you know the Savior who is wondrous and kind and true? He's the rock of your salvation. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Have you walked in the way that's new? Have you drunk from the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Have you? Oh, let's see. What's another verse?
So,
So go out on the highways and hedges, preach His word to the many or few. Go tell every fallen brother, there's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. There's another verse, but I can't seem to get hold of. Lord bless you is my prayer.